According to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, the Apostle Peter was addressing Christians who were scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And in addressing them, he was addressing the old and the young. He was speaking to men and women. And he addressed them as priests. Now, I would affirm, based upon what the Bible teaches, that as Christians, we are priests. Whether we're old or young, men or women, all are priests. In addressing these Christians, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, he said, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And then in the 9th verse, he said, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." While in verse 9, he addresses those Christians as a royal priesthood, he addresses them in verse 5 as a holy priesthood and says, "You are a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." I want to talk to you for just a little while tonight about offering sacrifices to God. Now, someone might object by saying, "Wait a minute, that's just an Old Testament study. Offering sacrifices, that's an Old Testament study." Well, we don't offer sacrifices living under the New Covenant. Well, now, it is true that offering sacrifices is an Old Testament study. You can read in the Old Testament where those Old Testament priests would take the sacrifices and offer them before God. Yes, that's true that that's an Old Testament study. It's just not true that it's not a New Testament study. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and reading in the 4th verse, the writer there speaks of those Old Testament sacrifices. He says, Hebrews 10:4, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins." But then dropping down to verses 11 and 12 of Hebrews chapter 10, he said, "And every priest," now that would be those Old Testament priests, "and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." We have one supreme sacrifice that was offered by our high priest, Jesus Christ, about 2,000 years ago. Now, somebody might say, "Well, then that's the end of it. We have that one sacrifice, and if you're talking about sacrifices, well, then that's the end of it." I would say to you tonight, no, that's the beginning of it. Because now, as priests, we are to continue to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. The text clearly says that we are priests. And the clergy-laity system, which exists in the denominational world, I tell you, that just does not exist in the teaching of the New Testament scriptures. And this idea that the prayer of a preacher at the bedside of a sick person, well, now that rises just a little higher. Or that when a preacher baptizes someone, well, that's just got to be a little more saving. That's hogwash. We're all priests expected to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. And it is denominational digression that has made it otherwise. You just don't read that in the Bible. So we're all priests. We're to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God as priests. But what kind? Well, that will be our subject tonight. I want to express appreciation for the presence of everyone this evening. We have some visitors who are here tonight. And really good to see you. Not only is your presence an encouragement to this congregation, but an encouragement to me as I stand before you this evening. Glad that you are here. If you have any questions about something that you hear during the course of the study, then please let me know, and I'd be happy to discuss anything with you at that time, at the end of the service. Well, what kind of sacrifices are we to offer unto God since we are priests? First of all, I want to mention to you that we are to offer unto God the sacrifice of praise. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 12 through 15, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The writer said in Hebrews 13:15 that we are to offer unto God the sacrifice of praise. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, let me ask you, have we been doing that today during the song service? Have we been offering unto God the sacrifice of praise? Now you might say, well, my lips moved, but I didn't ask if our lips moved. I said, have we been offering unto God the sacrifice of praise? You know, a while ago during the song service, as Brother Jeremiah led us in the singing of those songs, I could have been sitting right there thinking about my occupation, so that I just forgot to offer unto God the sacrifice of praise. Now, my occupation is that of a gospel preacher. I could have been sitting in that pew a while ago during the song service thinking about how I would start this sermon, or thinking about how I would conclude this sermon, so that I just forgot to offer unto God the sacrifice of praise. If you are ever tempted to think about your occupation, or to think about anything other than the message of the song during the song service, you need to remember that you have a God in heaven who is expecting you to offer unto him the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips, giving thanks to his name. But notice something else in this verse, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. He said, therefore by him let us continually, notice that, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Folks, we ought to have hearts that are just full of thanksgiving and praise to God every day that we live on his earth. And we shouldn't think of God only on Sundays and Wednesdays, or when we come to this church building. You know, you come inside of this auditorium and then we just kind of flip on the switch and then we start thinking about God all of a sudden. But the rest of the week we've been thinking about other things, worldly things. The rest of the week maybe we've been thinking about how we're going to make more money. You know, somebody might say, you know, I really need some help focusing my mind on God when we come together at this building for congregational worship. When we partake of the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day, I need help focusing my mind on the body and on the blood of Jesus who offered himself on the cross for my sins. When we come together, I need help focusing on God during the song service and focusing on the message of the song that we're singing. You know, something that would help us to focus would to be sure that we are focusing on God every day that we live on his earth. Every day. We should begin every day by going to God in prayer. We should end every day by talking to God in prayer and giving Him the fruit of our lips and giving thanks unto Him in that way. We need to be focused on God continually. And I believe the word continually there is put there for a reason. We need to continually offer unto God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But what other kind of sacrifices are we to offer unto God since we're a priest? We are to offer the sacrifice of our possessions. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 15, going through verse 18, Paul said, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." Now, Epaphroditus was their messenger, the messenger of the brethren at Philippi, through whom they sent material aid to the Apostle Paul, a preacher of the gospel. And he was allowed to do some preaching and some teaching while he was a prisoner in Rome. They sent funds to this preacher of the gospel. And when they sent it, it was, as Paul said in Philippians 4:18, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. You know, when it comes to the giving of our money on the first day of the week for the preaching of the gospel and for other authorized works of the church, that is not just a material transaction. Like when you go to the grocery store and you get the shopping cart and you're pushing it through the grocery store and you're throwing the various items in that shopping cart. And then when you're through, you go to the cashier and you hand your cashier the money. Now that is a material transaction. But when you put your money in the collection plate on the first day of the week, that's not just a material transaction. That really is an offering to the Lord. That's what we call it sometimes, isn't it? In fact, you've got it on your board. The offering. It really is an offering unto the Lord. And you know, thinking of it that way, it might be that the brand and the quality of that offering will improve if it needs to improve. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, Paul said, 2 Corinthians 8:7, "But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also." Now the word abound occurs twice in that verse. And it means to overflow or to excel. So he said, as you abound, that is, you are overflowing, brethren. You overflow, you excel in faith, speech, knowledge, diligence, love. See that you abound in this grace also. But when he talks about this grace, he's talking about giving, the giving of their money. And that's obvious as you look at the context. But then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, verses that we often cite when talking about giving. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, Paul said, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Now, as givers, we need, obviously, to recognize the difference between giving grudgingly and giving cheerfully. Because God loves a cheerful giver, we need to recognize the difference. But also, I would say to you, as we look at the previous verse, verse 6, As givers, we need to recognize the difference between giving what he calls sparingly and giving what he calls bountifully, that is, in keeping with our station in life. Now, if a person gives $2, a person puts $2 in the collection plate, is he giving sparingly or is he giving bountifully? I don't know. He may be giving bountifully. I said, in keeping with our station in life, our economic standing. In Mark chapter 12, you have the story there of the poor widow who gave 2 mites into the treasury. Very small amount. And the Lord complimented her. Because while others were giving out of their abundance, she gave out of her poverty. In other words, she did what she could. And she gave bountifully. When she gave, that's what some would consider a small amount, she was really giving bountifully because she was giving out of her poverty. But I'm telling you, we need to look at our economic standing. And we need to purpose in our heart what we will give and recognize the difference between giving bountifully and giving sparingly. Just suppose that we were living under the old covenant. We live way back there in the Old Testament times. And we had this animal. And it's torn and it's blind, it's lame, a sickly animal. And we said, you know, I doubt if I'll get a whole lot of good out of this. Well, here, God, you can have it. Why, we'd be lucky to get out of there without being burned with fire and brimstone. We need to recognize that when we put money in the collection plate on the Lord's Day, it really is an offering to the Lord, and we should want it to be, therefore, again, to borrow the words of the Apostle Paul by inspiration in Philippians 4, verse 18, we should want it to be a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. We are to offer the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of our possessions, but also as priests, we are to offer the sacrifice of service unto others. Now, turn back to Hebrews chapter 13. We were in Hebrews 13 a while ago when we established from verse 15 that we are to offer unto God the sacrifice of praise. But now in the next verse, he says, Hebrews 13, 16, but do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. He said, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Well, what kind of sacrifices? Doing good and sharing. Do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Did you know that dish of food that you prepared and took it to someone's house, someone who was sick, couldn't cook for herself? Did you know that that was a sacrifice well pleasing to God? That house that you cleaned and dusted for a person who was incapacitated, couldn't do it for herself? Did you know that was a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord? You know, even men on the earth, people who are not Christians, see that kind of service rendered, and even they appreciate it many times. But not only is such service praiseworthy in the eyes of men, but God sees it, and God accepts it. And with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. This really happened. I believe it happened down in Florida one time. There was a woman who was a member of the Lord's church. She went into the grocery store one day. And she saw a young lady across the way there in that store. She was crippled. The young lady was crippled. And she had her little girl, a real pretty little girl, by her side. And the woman who was a member of the church, she decided to just walk over to that young lady and strike up a conversation with her. And they talked for about 5 or 10 minutes. And then the woman who's a member of the church, she asked that young woman, she said, "Is it hard for you to do your little girl's hair?" and her hands were drawn up like this. She's crippled. And so the woman who's a member of the church, she says, "Is it hard for you to do your little girl's hair?" And she ducked her head a little bit and she said, "Yes, it is. It's very, very difficult for me to do her hair." And the woman who's a member of the church, she said, "Now, all right, I know you don't know me. I mean, we just met here in this grocery store. But would you mind if I went to your house just one day a week so that I could do your little girl's hair?" And she said, "I would love for you to do that." So they talked a little while longer there in that grocery store. And then the woman, a member of the church, she pulled out a card. And she said, "Now this card, this will tell you where I worship God. Gives the location, gives you the place. It tells you when we worship. Love for you to come and visit with us at our services, and I think you'd find the people there to be very warm and welcoming. Just love for you to come." Well, sure enough, right after that, that young lady showed up, took her little girl with her, showed up at the worship services. And some took note of that, and they set up home Bible study with this young lady. And it was just a few weeks later, she was convinced of the truth. She obeyed the gospel. She became a Christian. Now, that happened a long time ago. Now, that little girl, she's grown up. And now, she's obeyed the gospel. She's a Christian. And it all started with a sacrifice of service to others. And with a member of the Lord's church saying, "Can I do your little girl's hair?" You know, we just never know what a sacrifice of service to others, what it might lead to. But what we do know is this: God sees it and God accepts it. Regardless of the outcome, we might not always have a positive outcome like the one in that story. We just don't know what it will lead to. All we do know is that regardless of the outcome, God sees it, God accepts it. And so therefore, do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now, do you think the scriptures are trying to make it obvious to us that we're priests? Do you think that the scriptures are trying to make it very clear to us that we are to offer sacrifices? Priests offered sacrifices under the old covenant. We don't live under the old covenant. And we're not of the tribe of Levi, as those priests of the Old Testament had to be of the tribe of Levi. But we're Christians. And Peter said, we're priests. We're a holy priesthood. We're a royal priesthood. And we are meant, we are designed to offer unto God sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices. What other kind of sacrifice are we to offer unto God? We are to offer the sacrifice of ourselves. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, probably knew I would get to this, but in Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In verse 1, Paul, in addressing Christians, said that you are to present your bodies, you are to present yourselves a living sacrifice unto God. You know, I think we know that we are to be sacrificial offerings unto God. Problem is, sometimes I think we want to wriggle off the altar. In Philippians chapter 2, before I read a couple or three verses there, I want to remind you of the context. Paul is in prison at the time of this writing, and he doesn't know for sure which way it's going to go for him. Whether he will be executed by the Roman government or if he will continue to live on in the flesh. Paul had a certain level expectation that he would continue to live on in the flesh. He had a level of confidence that that would happen. He just didn't know it for sure. And it is in that context that he said in Philippians 1, verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." But whether he would live, whether he would die, he just didn't know for sure. So then in Philippians 2, 16 through 18, Paul said, "Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me." What Paul is saying here is, brethren, if I must die, being poured out on the altar of your faith and service, having been executed by the Roman government, brethren, I rejoice because of that. And I want you to rejoice and be glad with me. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in 2 Timothy, it was the last letter that Paul would ever write by inspiration. He had come to the end of the way, and he knew it. And in 2 Timothy 4, beginning with verse 6, Paul said, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." And when Paul said in verse 6, "I am already being poured out as a drink offering," he was clearly speaking of the sacrifice of himself. Now, just imagine a Christian asking, "How little can I do for God and still get by?" Can you imagine that? In other words, the minimum service attitude, not the maximum service attitude, which we ought to have, but the minimum service attitude. God, just how little can I do and still get by? God, how little can I pray to you and still get by? How little can I study your scriptures and still get by? How little can I attend Bible study and the congregational worship and still get by? You know, as Christians, we should want to do all that we can and the best that we can. After all, the Bible teaches that we're all priests. And the Bible teaches that since we're priests, we are to offer unto God even the sacrifice of ourselves. Then how can we ask, "How little can I do and still get by?" But then there's one other kind of sacrifice that I want to talk about, and then the lesson will be yours. We are to offer unto God the sacrifice of others. And you might say, "Well, I'm glad to hear you get to that part. I'd rather hear about that than offering the sacrifice of ourselves. I'd rather offer the sacrifice of others." But what do we mean by that? Well, I mean by that what Paul meant in Romans chapter 15 and verse 16. Now, I'm going to start in verse 15. Romans 15, verse 15. "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." Now I have Romans 15:16 up here on the screen, and I have two words highlighted. The words "ministering" and "offering." And some translations, by the way, in Romans 15:16 say that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. The offering up of the Gentiles. But I want you to focus on those two words, ministering and offering. First, let's look at the word translated ministering. I have the Greek word, which we don't have to pronounce that. But I want us to look at the English word ministering as it is translated from that Greek word. And there, in his Greek English lexicon, says it means to minister in the manner of a priest. Minister in the priestly service of the preaching of the gospel in Romans 15:16. So the preaching of the gospel, ministering as a priest while we preach. And then Arndt and Gingrich defines the word translated ministering to serve the gospel as a priest. Now the word translated offering. Thayer says it means that which is offered, a gift, a present. And then Thayer adds this, in Romans 15:16, the sacrifice which I offer in turning the Gentiles to God. And now, here are my comments for whatever they're worth. It was as if Paul was a priest in the officiating at a sacrifice when he taught others the truth. Through the teaching of the truth, he turned the hearts of the Gentiles to God and thus made the Gentiles, an acceptable offering to God. Now, you know, you can do the same kind of thing. That is, you can take the scriptures and you can teach a sinner. And when that sinner responds to the scriptures that you have taught him in a positive way, obeys the gospel, becomes a Christian, it is as though you have functioned as a priest in turning the heart of that person to God and presenting, offering that person to God who was once a sinner. Just think of the investment of our time and the investment of our energy in the souls of others and teaching them the truth so that they can be converted and presented to God as the people who are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, I'm all the time hearing about Christians in various local congregations who are looking for open doors of opportunities to teach the gospel to others. And also those who are looking for opportunities to set up classes for the local preacher or somebody else in the congregation to lead. You know, the church in the first century, it grew tremendously, and I think there are various factors that contributed to the rapid growth of the church in the first century. But among those factors that contributed to their growth, they were willing to present themselves as sacrifices unto God, but also they were willing to offer the sacrifice of others unto God, because Acts chapter 8 verse 4 says that those who were scattered because of the persecution, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. The gospel dispersed. The gospel went to other parts of the world. But there were Christians who were taking the gospel to other parts of the world. And in teaching others, here were people whose hearts were turned unto God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul is stirring up the brethren at Corinth to complete the collection for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. He had already given a command in his first epistle, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 3, to lay by in store on the first day of the week as they had been prospered. And they were giving for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Well, they started that collection, but then the brethren became negligent. They did not complete it. Now Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, he's trying to stir them up so that they will complete the collection that they had started about a year ago. And so in order to stir up their minds to do this, he referred them to the positive example of the churches of Macedonia. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning with verse 3, and speaking of the churches of Macedonia, he said, "For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. I have 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5 up here on the screen. Paul said, brethren at Corinth, the reason that the brethren at in the Macedonian churches, the reason they're doing so well in this matter of giving is because they determined, first of all, that they were going to give themselves to the Lord. And you know, it's true that if we will make that decision to, first of all, give ourselves to the Lord, everything else will just fall into place. Everything that we thought about tonight, it will just fall into place. We will want to offer unto God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, if we will first of all give ourselves to the Lord. We will want to offer the sacrifice of our possessions, the sacrifice of service to others, the sacrifice of self. We will want to offer the sacrifice of others and teaching them the gospel and presenting them unto God. And it is for certain that if we will make the decision tonight to give ourselves to the Lord, that we will repent of every sin that we've ever committed, that we will confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, the Son of God, and we'll want to obey the Lord in baptism, be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. When we extend heaven's invitation, it is an invitation to accept the salvation that is offered through the blood of Jesus Christ. But it's also an invitation to make the decision to give yourself to the Lord. And once you've made that decision, well, then you'll be acting as a priest every day that you live. As a priest, from now until the day that you die, you'll be offering yourself as a living sacrifice. And you will want to offer all of the other offerings that have been mentioned from the Scriptures here tonight. Do you need to make that start this evening? We wish you would. We beg you to do that. Please come right now while we stand.